But coming back here, Paul prayed and he didn't get an answer for three times, but he kept on praying till he got the answer. And what was the answer? Verse 9, 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfected in your weakness. So what I learned from that is, you know, the Bible says, blessed is the man who meditates on the law of the Lord. I fear that many believers, when they read the scripture, they don't spend time meditating on it. They rush to the next verse. There are many times when I've read the scripture, my morning meditation, I read one verse. And it's like the stoplight is in front of me. The Lord says, no, you can't leave this and go to the next verse. There's a red light there. Okay, then I can't go to the next verse. I have to keep meditating on one verse. And I finish my meditation after some minutes and then I get up. And the next day, the Lord says, same verse. And again, I find a stoplight. I can't go any further. I meditate and meditate and meditate on that. And the Lord is teaching me more and more. But I'm not in a rush to rush through the chapter. I want to hear what God is saying. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. These words in the Bible proceeded from the mouth of God hundreds of years ago. People heard it and wrote it down. Today, when I read it, it has to once again proceed from the mouth of God to my heart. Then only I can live, not by reading and meditating, just without hearing what God is saying. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds, present tense, present continuous, proceeds from the mouth of God, not that proceeded from the mouth of God 2,000 years ago. Man shall live by every word that proceeds now from the mouth of God. That is Matthew 4:4. And if you have not experienced that life, it's because you have not sought to hear the word that proceeds now from the mouth of God to your heart. So that's why I say when you read a scripture, meditate on it. And if after 15 minutes, God doesn't let you go to the next verse, don't go to the next verse. Just like you won't go through a traffic light if it's still red. And if the next day is the same verse, stick there. I've done that so many times, that's how I got to know the scriptures. I don't want to have the record of the one who's read through the Bible maximum number of times, no. I want to have the record of the Bible going through me many times, not me going through the Bible, but the Bible going through me. There's a lot of difference between the two. And so when I read the scriptures, I want this word to go through me. And if it takes time, it's like a surgery. Sometimes you sit 4 hours, people are on the operating theater for 4 hours for a surgery. And I say, Lord, I want this verse to go through me. Okay. My grace, the Lord says, is sufficient for you. What do I get from that? I'll tell you what I've got from it. There is not a single situation in your life for which God's grace is not sufficient. I don't care what the problem is. I don't care how serious it is. I don't care how long standing it is. God's grace is sufficient. I don't care how difficult your children are. God's grace is sufficient to help you to bring them up in a godly way. So many parents say, oh brother, you don't know how stubborn my child is. I don't care. God's grace is sufficient. If you can understand the meaning of that word, sufficient. Is there a problem on earth for which God's grace is not sufficient? A problem in your life, I mean. I'm not talking about earthly problems like wars and famines and earthquakes. Your life, my grace is sufficient for you. So I take that seriously and I say, Lord, I don't believe I can ever face anything in my life if I live another 20 years. I don't believe I'll ever face anything in my life for which your grace is not sufficient. Can you say that as you go away from here today? With just one thing, among other things God may have spoken to you today. Lord, I believe that your grace is sufficient for me for anything I will face from now on till the end of my life. I don't care how serious it is. Confess it to God. Come back to this verse. Let's turn for a moment to Romans chapter 10. Compare scripture with scripture. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. What does God's word say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. God's word must not only be in your heart, in your mouth. So what does that mean? Verse 9, with the mouth I confess Jesus as Lord, and with the heart I believe God raised him from the dead. You know, electricity flows through two wires, in and out. Every switch, electric switch, is a place where the two wires come. And all that you do when you put on a switch is the two wires join. That's all that happens when you put on a switch. The two wires are kept apart and the switch is off. When the switch is put on, the two wires touch and the light comes on. This is the thing here. You believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth. When they touch, results come. You only confess with your mouth without believing in your heart, there's no electricity, no power. You only believe in your heart, don't confess with your mouth, or confess with your mouth, don't believe in your heart, doesn't work. But where the two connect, it's like putting on the switch. So you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And that's why it says here, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you'll be saved. Many people believe in their heart, but they never ever tell another person in their whole life that I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Their salvation is limited. That's why it's good to tell others, Christ is my Savior. It makes a difference, not enough to believe in the heart. The more I've said that with my mouth whenever I get an opportunity, it strengthens my faith. Further, you'll be saved. In verse 10, with the heart, man believes, resulting in righteousness. With the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. I may have received the righteousness of Christ in my heart because I believed. But I'll experience salvation from my sin when I confess with my mouth. So remember these two wires that touch at the switch. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. And that is why I encourage people, whenever you have read the scriptures and you got something from it, share it with somebody. You believed in your heart? Good. Share it with your wife. Share it with your husband. Say, darling, this is what I got today. Interesting. I'm not saying you can do it every day. But it's good. Tell it to your children. You get a chance somewhere else. Share it with someone. Maybe you write it in an email. I'm doing that all the time. Telling people something I got from scripture. I believe in my heart and I confess it. Either with a written email or with my mouth. It makes a tremendous difference, I tell you. If you don't believe it, try it from today and see if it's not true. What you believe in your heart, express it some way, in speaking or in writing, to someone.